in Isaiah 7 and 14. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, the seed of the woman. But that's not the end of it. And shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us, the Son of God. You see, the seed of the woman is the Son of God. The seed of the woman is the Son of God. Praise God. Couldn't understand that until Isaiah spoke. Really, Israel didn't understand it until after the resurrection. They looked back and, this is what Isaiah was prophesying. But a virgin shall conceive, shall bring forth a son. It's the seed of the woman and not of a man. And shall call his name Emmanuel. He's God with us. This son of Mary is the Son of God. Hallelujah! But what did he say that he would do? He shall bruise the head of the serpent. Is that confirmed any place in the Scripture? Let's look at 1 John, the 3rd chapter. He said, 5th verse, "And ye know..." What's common knowledge here? "And ye know that Bert Montgomery is the bishop of the fellowship." Is that common knowledge? Does everybody here know that? If you don't turn around and look at Bert Montgomery, this is the bishop of the Full Gospel Christian Association Fellowship. Praise the Lord. "And ye know..." Those words, that terminology, is spoken of things that are common knowledge. "And ye know..." Ye know. It's not something I'm telling you that you've never heard before. "And ye know..." But what did he say to that church? He said, "And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins." 8th verse, second half. "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested. The seed of the woman came. The Son of God was manifested." What? "That he might destroy the works of the devil." This is the reason he came. This is the reason he's born of a virgin. He's the seed of the woman. Praise God. Conceived of the Holy Ghost. He's the Son of God. What's the promise? He'll bruise the head of the serpent. What's his purpose in being manifest? The Son of God. He'll destroy the works of the devil. And then, what does Paul say in Hebrews 2 and 14? "For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood..." That's me and you. That's me and you. You say, "Well, if we're born again..." No, that's everybody he died for. That's not just for me and you. It's for everybody that he died for. Everybody who will believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But it's for whosoever will. "For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death." That is who? That is the devil. And he's not coming a second time to destroy the devil. Because through death, he destroyed the... Someone said, "I don't believe that." Well, he's still reigning in your universe. Well, if the devil's destroyed, that can't be so. Just look around you. I mean, he's in control everywhere. He's got the nation under his thumb. And that's true. That's his kingdom. He's the God of that world. But let me tell you about another kingdom where there is no devil. And where there is no sin. Because sin has been taken away. and the devil has been destroyed in this kingdom. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of God's dear Son. The kingdom of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In 1 John 3 and 5, in other words, and ye know scriptures. It's common knowledge in that first church, a first generation church. It's common knowledge to them, but we've totally lost it. We don't know it today. It said, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him, that kingdom of God's dear Son, Christ, sinneth not. It's not that you ought not to. It's not that you ought to stop. It's do you believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, whose purpose at the cross? No longer can we look back to the cross and say, oh, that's what he did to take our penalty. No, that's what he did to take our sin. Freely called Savior, isn't it? Genesis, the 22nd chapter. Greatest test that Abraham ever had. Greatest trial, the greatest test he ever had. It was the same day that he saw the day of Christ. The 8th chapter of John, Jesus told the Pharisees, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. And the day he saw, the day of Christ, was the same day of the greatest test that he ever faced. And God told him,